So we're really excited about this series, and it's been awesome to go through some of these passages of Scripture together and to see what God has for us, something awesome that God has for us. He doesn't want us to be here alone and just feeling down and isolated from each other, but His hope and His commands for us are to be very connected. So let's pray again and ask God to speak to us through His Word. We really believe that the Scriptures give us this manual for life of how to live this out and how to bring truth where maybe we have misconceptions and lies. So we're going to just ask God to speak to us this morning. Lord, we thank You again for this opportunity to be in Your presence. Lord, thank You for that song that we sang, that we want You to be present here. And we know that You already are present, but we want to be made aware of Your presence. God, I just thank You when You speak deeply to our hearts, how it changes us and how it encourages us. And I'm so thankful for Your words to us that help us to be deeper with each other as opposed to being isolated and having all these walls. God, would You bring us together today? Break down the walls that keep us separated. And help us as we come together and love each other and build deeper friendships, Lord, that we would really reflect Your heart for connection and Your heart for relationships. Help us with that. Open up our eyes and open up our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Near the end of my freshman year, I had a really hard decision to make. My freshman year of college, I had asked Christ to come into my life for the first time and really surrendered myself and wanted to be in this relationship with Jesus. And it was changing everything for me. I had a background that I wasn't proud of, and it brought a lot of shame and guilt to my life. And it was awesome for me to learn about Jesus and about His forgiveness. But near the end of the semester, my spring semester, I had this big decision to make. These people at church at H2O had been talking about this summer program called leadership training. And I had this opportunity to go away to a faraway place that I'd never been and just be in this Christian community for a 10-week period. But even though I was in the church and it was my freshman year and I'd been involved some, I didn't feel that connected to people. I still felt pretty connected to my old life and my old friends. And I knew that if I went back home to my hometown my summer after my freshman year, I would probably jump back in with the things that I had done in my past. And I was conflicted. And I remember specifically going out and praying and saying, God, what should I do? What should I do with my summer? And I just felt so clearly that God was showing me these two paths. And He really just asked me a question. It was one of those times, maybe a rare time, where you really feel God speaking to your heart. And I felt Him say, you know, there's two paths here. Do you want to go back to this old life with those friends, or do you want to experience something new with Me? And that question just really hit me, because I remember back to the things He was bringing to mind, the things of high school where I drank and I smoked pot. And most of the friends that I hung out with had a low view of women, and how we were encouraging one another, even, you know, mistakenly, to just view women as objects. And as God brought that to my mind, it touched my heart. And I was having such a great time getting to know God. And it was really like, do I want to go back and experience what I had before, or be with God and these Christians that I actually thought were pretty nerdy and pretty boring, but I saw God in their lives. And I made that decision. I felt really worried and scared because I didn't know people, but I decided to go away and experience this new community. And that decision changed my life. It changed the trajectory of my life. And even though I was worried and scared and I went out there and did these things in this leadership training program with these people in the summer, it was amazing, the experience of just encouraging one another and loving each other and talking about what God's plan for our life was and just being around people that truly cared and wanted to know who I was and people that were transparent and revealed who they were. And it was amazing. It was literally just like night and day to what I experienced. And if you guys have your handouts, you can pull them out. And the first point is what I learned that summer. And our first point for this morning is good friendships come from an intentional pursuit. Good friendships come from an intentional pursuit. This morning we're going to be talking about not letting our friendships just be accidental friendships, but actually being intentional with them. It's easy to go through life and just let our interactions with people seem accidental. I'm just going to hang out with whatever's thrown my way, and I'm just going to interact and build friendships without much thought. But the scripture tells us to be intentional about our friendships. If we want awesome friendships, we need to be intentional about that. My dad always told this terrible joke that you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose. You guys have heard that before? My dad's point in sharing that with us is that we really needed to be careful with who we hung around with. And God is not asking us to abandon any friendship at all. That is not my point this morning. This first point is that we need to make decisions on who is influencing us. And we really need to be aware of what God is doing in our lives. And we love people, and we love all people, and we want to influence people for Jesus. And we want to be connected with all people. But this point of the inner circle, the real close friendships, the ones where you want to know their heart and you're revealing your heart to them and who's influencing us, we need to be selective. Are they people of honesty? Are they people that tell you the truth and you can tell them the truth? Are they people of character? Do they encourage you? Do they push you forward? Do you actually talk about God's plan for your life? And they encourage you in that to find out what God has for you and to be the person that He is intending you to be. Those are the quality friendships that we need. Proverbs 14:7 says it so clearly. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. The Bible talks about wise people, foolish people, and evil people. And much of Proverbs divides the human race into these three categories: the wise, the foolish, and the evil. And a lot of Proverbs is telling us we need to be around wise people. We need to love and influence foolish people. And we need to love and influence evil people. But our inner circle of friendships need to be the wise. Proverbs 13:20 says it. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. I heard a pastor say recently, I can tell your future by your present group of friends. You can see your future by who you surround yourselves with now. And the Bible tells us, walk with those who are wise. Walk with those who have character and really truly care about you and care about the things of God. Because if we're always being influenced by the world, by the ones that I was with and really looked up to, and I admired the way that they partied, and I admired the way that they influenced people to do evil, I thought that was cool. I really didn't know any better at the time. And it says, that kind of companion will bring harm to you. So we need to be intentional of who we're with. I remember a time in my early 20s when I had graduated from college and moved to Columbus, Ohio. This was a time in my life where I moved to a new place. I had a new job. I was helping with a new church. And just everything was new. Many of you here that are freshmen, you're experiencing this kind of newness to a new place. And it brought a lot of anxiety to me. You know, I love being in relationships and friendships, and those are important to me and my community around me that supports me. And when I was involved in this new church work in this new city, I really had no close friend that was my age. And I remember feeling, which is rare for me, but I felt loneliness. I felt true loneliness. And I remember praying about this one day and God just saying, I want you to ask me for things. I want you to be specific. And I just said, God, I want a friend. I want a friend to do life with. I want a friend to do sports with. I want a friend to do this church stuff and hang out. And somebody that's a single guy like me, you know, that we can just kind of relate and hang out and you know, just do life together. And I prayed very specifically for that. It wasn't a few weeks later that I met a guy named Chad Bidle. Here's a picture of him later on in life. But Chad was all those things that I had asked for. He was my age. He was single. We loved sports. We loved doing ministry. He got involved in this church. We ended up, you know, living together with a whole bunch of other guys in this awesome house near campus. And we just did life together for about 6 or 7 years. Now we're in our 40s, and Chad is battling for his life. He has leukemia, and he has been through rounds and rounds of chemo and a bone marrow transplant. And his wife, you know, they're just an amazing couple, and they have kids, 3 kids about the same age as our kids. And I went to visit him not long ago in the spring. He lives out by D.C. And we just sat and talked and laughed about the old days. And it was just so sweet to be still close to this guy, even though he lives far away. It's like we just picked up the friendship right where we left off. And I truly love and appreciate this guy and tell him everything about my life. And he loves and appreciates me and tells me everything about his life. And you know, he's in the hospital at Johns Hopkins, and he's got tubes and everything, and he's just fighting for his life. And I said to him, Chad, man, I'll always remember you were an answer to a prayer for me. I was so lonely, and I prayed, and God gave you to me. And I am so grateful for you. And man, we just cried and laughed and did, you know, remembered all the dumb things that we used to do together. And it was just sweet. God's desire is for us to have meaningful, deep friendships that last for decades. And we want that for you. We long for that for you. And this first point is to pray. If you're lonely or you're thinking, do I have that kind of friendship that the Bible describes? Pray. Ask God to meet that need in your life. Be intentional about who you pursue, because God wants to answer that prayer for you and bring lifelong friends. One of the reasons that a lot of my friendships are deep, and I shared a couple weeks ago about Mary Lynn and I's relationship and our marriage and our relationship with Matt and Gretchen, the other pastor and his wife here, and why it's so sweet. And it is because, one of the reasons is because we can truly say and share anything with each other. Anything. That is such a joy to be able to just be yourself with someone. And that is the second point this morning. We need to have intentional transparency with each other. You want to be in a friendship where you have intentional transparency. It is not easy. This does not happen accidentally. This is a goal. This is a focus that you have, is that I am going to be transparent in my relationships. I'm going to tell people who I really am, and I want them to tell me who they are, and we're going to show compassion and love and acceptance to one another. If you are ever ridiculed for who you are, if you're ever ridiculed for your openness, that is not a deep friendship that you want to be in. That is not going to be a close, trusted friend. We need to be in a place, and what our prayer is for H2O is this is a place where you come and you take off your mask. Like that guy was saying in the video, I deceive people. I don't let people know who I am until I really let them get in my inner circle. We want this to be a place where you can be real and take off the mask and be accepted. We want that because that's how God is with us. We can be real with God. We can be transparent with God, and He showers us with mercy and acceptance. This next verse says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. That's in Proverbs. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deception. Some of us are so tempted to deceive others about who we are. And the Bible says that's foolish. Foolishness. The deception that we bring into our relationships makes us feel isolated. It reinforces that we can't really be honest about who we are. It builds walls between us. Now, I was told a little while ago that I'm not funny enough in my teachings. So this, ladies and gentlemen, is the joke portion of my teaching. There was this big, strong man, and he was out of work. And he was just really desperate and couldn't find any job. And so in his desperation, he went to the zoo and found the zookeeper. He heard they were hiring. And he said to the zookeeper, "Man, I need a job really bad. I'm desperate. I'll do anything." The guy says, "You'll do anything?" He says, "Yeah, I'll do anything." He says, "Okay, our gorilla is sick. He's off to the vet. The kids are all coming today. We have no gorilla in the cage. Would you put on a gorilla suit and be the gorilla today?" This big, strong guy, "Oh, man, this is embarrassing." But he was desperate. So he said, "Yeah, I'll do it." So the next morning he comes in early. You know, it's still dark out. The zookeeper meets him, puts on this gorilla suit, goes into the cage. The zoo opens. All the people start coming in. He's in there, doing the best he can, eating bananas, doing the whole thing. Well, it gets to be in the afternoon, and the sun is just beating down on him. He's hot. He's tired. He's discouraged. He's like, "This is embarrassing. I got to get out of here." He tries to get out of the cage, and he accidentally falls into the lion's den. Dun, dun, dun. He just starts freaking out. He's screaming. He's yelling. The lion starts walking up to him. He's yelling, "Help, help, help." The lion approaches even closer, and the lion says, "Hey, knock it off. You're going to ruin it for both of us." Yes. We are so tempted. We are so tempted to fake it. We're so tempted to wear masks. And I want to encourage you that as you are more transparent and real, your relationships are going to get deeper and more intimate than you ever hoped. I love sharing about my weaknesses. Most of my ministry is sharing about all my flaws and my sin and my insecurities and my problems, because people always come and say, "Man, I'm comforted by that. I feel the same way you do." There is power in sharing our weaknesses. And here is why, because Paul says it so well in 2 Corinthians 12 of why we can be transparent. He's crying out to God to change him, and God says to him, "My grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. For my power, God's power, is made perfect in weakness." Then Paul says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, for that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." You see, we can come to this place with God in the center of our relationships, and we can share our problems and our difficulties and our weaknesses, because whenever we succeed, it's all for His glory. Those weaknesses and those problems that we have are God's opportunity to show power in our lives. And this church and this Christian life is all about glorifying Him, isn't it? We say that, and we need to mean it, that it is all about Him being the hero, not us. I'm messed up, and I'm broken, and I'm insecure, and I have lies that still circulate in my mind. But that is not the point of the story. The point of the story is that we can come together as broken pieces and do something special together because God's power, not my power, not because you're perfect, not because your reputation is so holy, but because God is holy and He is powerful. So let's glorify God and be open about our weaknesses. The third thing this morning the next fill-in, is that we need to initiate and respond in friendship. We need to initiate and respond in friendship. There is nothing worse than being vulnerable in a relationship, right? And having it squashed. And I don't just mean a guy asking a girl out or that kind of thing. I'm just talking about, that's painful too. But I'm just talking about with each other, when we kind of open up our heart in a vulnerable way and it isn't responded to. Or we're trying to reach out to somebody that's hurting or feeling isolated and they're depressed and they don't feel like anybody knows or anybody cares. And you reach out to them and they just stiff arm you. That's painful. And so as a community, we not only need to be initiators and we need to be leaders, but when someone initiates with you, you need to be faithful to respond that. You need to respond to that and to know that people care about you and they want to love on you and that that's reciprocated. My son Max, my youngest son, he's in a new elementary school this year. And he was pretty concerned about meeting new friends. You know, and he would tear up thinking about going to school, and he didn't know anybody. You know, not one person. Sometimes you transfer schools, and you maybe know one or two other people. He didn't know anybody. It brought some anxiety to him. It brought some anxiety to us. Well, he's just such a sweet kid. You know, we tell him, you're going to make friends. You just got to give it some time. So at his school, for the new kids, during recess, there's kids that just nobody's playing with. And it's a difficulty. So they have what's called the buddy bench. And what the buddy bench is this bench sitting on the playground. And if you don't have anybody to play with, you're supposed to go sit on that bench. And then if a couple kids gather, then you have somebody to play with. Or if you see someone on that bench, you're supposed to go and pursue them. So Mary Lynn, my wife, was telling Max, like, you know, you need to go sit on that buddy bench if you're by yourself, because he went out one time and he was by himself. And Max is like, I'm not sitting on that bench by myself. You know? It's like he's eight, but he's like, I'm not that vulnerable, you know? That's risky. And so we kept trying to encourage him to do that, but he didn't want to. It was too scary for him. Well, one day, some kid went and sat on that bench. His name's Ben. And Ben was sitting there. And I'm so proud of my son. Max was playing with some other kids, and he saw Ben sitting on the bench. And Max went and sat with Ben. He said, hey, do you want to come and play tag with us? And he's been hanging out with Ben. And I was like so proud of him. I say, that is the heart of God. Someone says, I need help. I want a friend. I'm sitting on this bench by myself. We need to respond to one another. We need to take initiative. It takes two to have these deep friendships, and it needs a lot of courage. Right now, I'm going to show you a video about stepping out in a vulnerable place and someone responding. This is the greatest leadership video you will ever see. And after it's over, you will say, yes, Matt Pardy, you were right. There's this goofy guy dancing. And is that a great video? The best you've ever seen? Yes. The dancing shirtless guy. It's hard to tell from the quality of that. That guy is my co-pastor, Matt Oshesky. Yes. Totally kidding. A movement started from this lone nut. But I love how he says the first follower. Someone responding to someone being vulnerable. If we want to have deep friendships, we need to respond that way. And it creates a movement. It creates a culture. And that's our hope here at H2O, that we create a culture of loving one another in a deep way. 1 John chapter 3 says this, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Amazing passage. This is his command, boiled down simple, to believe in the name of the Son of Jesus Christ. God's desire is that you put your faith in Jesus and you believe in him. Believe in what he did for you at the cross. That's the beginning of relationship and to love one another as he commanded us. We can do this by that last part. We know we can do this by the Spirit that he gave us. We can have these deep relationships and be together and respond to one another in love because we have something in common. When we ask Jesus into our lives, the Spirit lives inside of us. And that is what's going to be the glue to hold us together. Which brings us to our final point, our fourth fill-in. If you want to be a good friend, you're sitting here thinking, I really want my friendships to improve. If you want to be a good friend, you have to know the best friend. If you want to be a good friend to other people and have lots of quality friendships, you've got to know the best friend. If you were learning about business, you would want to know what the great business minds know. If you were involved in music, you'd want to know the greatest musicians. If you were a scientist, you'd want to know what the greatest scientists know and do. And in this church, if we want to really love one another, because if you were to pick one thing to beat your drum on in the New Testament, it would be about loving God and loving one another. That's what you can be all about. And if you want to love one another and have a lot of friendships, you've got to know the best friend, the one that loves us better than anyone else. Do you know that Jesus wanted a friendship with you so bad? That he thinks you're amazing and he wants to be with you in eternity, that he went to the cross and died and rose again so that you wouldn't be separated from him. You and I have to start from that place. Because when I don't have love for someone, or I'm annoyed by someone, or I'm angry, or I don't want to forgive, and I'm just agitated with people, that is a clear sign to me that I'm not understanding or receiving God's love. And when I go and I pray, I just am always amazed at the scriptures and the Spirit just reminding me how kind and awesome God is. He loves you. He wants to pour out his blessing on you. He likes you. He thinks you're amazing. And his passion toward you will really change how you feel about people around you. And if you haven't experienced that, that's the starting point. That's what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to just generate this love for people out of your own flesh, because it's not going to take you very far. Your own selfishness and your own wants will interrupt good friendships. But what he wants is an encounter with him. And when you get alone with God and he tells you, I love you. I have a plan for you. I think you're awesome. I wove you together in your mother's womb. I know everything about you, all the good and the bad, and I still want you. I think you're special and amazing, and he wants to be intimate with you. Man, that changes me. It truly changes me. And when he tells me those things in an alone time or some devotional time, I walk out of there feeling a deeper love for him and for people than I did before I prayed. And I'm always reminded, and my wife is good at reminding me, when I go through these seasons where I'm really critical toward other people and I'm judging people or I'm upset with people and I struggle just like you do, God reminds me, or my wife reminds me, you're feeling bad about yourself. You're feeling critical toward yourself. You're feeling guilty and shame. And you're just spewing that out to other people because that's how you feel about you. And that is where we get alone with God. And he changes that. He said, I don't want you to walk in shame. I'm not condemning you. If you are in Christ, there is now no condemnation for you. And he starts telling me encouraging things and loving on me and just and pouring out his mercy, which I know I don't deserve. And it changes me, and I walk out of there and I feel different toward people. I want to give them that same mercy and that same patience and that same love. Jesus is the best friend you'll ever have. If you don't hear anything else from this morning, Jesus is the best friend you will ever have. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." The starting point is that Jesus died for you because he loves you so much. He couldn't bear to be apart from you for eternity. That's how much he likes you. He died for you and he laid down his life for you. And that's how we can lay down our lives for each other, because someone's already got our back. John 15, I'm going to close with this and pray. Jesus says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus told his disciples, "I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to show you my friendship with you. I am going to lay down my life for you." And he went to the cross willingly and died so that he could take away our sins. We can be comforted by that this morning, that someone loves us that much. Let's pray that that would really sink into our hearts and then also affect our relationships with one another. Father, we thank you that you love us so much. It's hard to believe sometimes that you care about us that much, that as you are in heaven looking down upon us, that you smile when you see us. Because sometimes we have great misconceptions about who you are. We think that you're an angry God looking forward to punishing us. But the scripture tells us something different. The Bible tells us clearly that you call us friends and that you lay down your life for us, so that you can be in an intimate relationship with us. God, I pray we'd experience that this week. And if we don't believe that or we don't feel that in our lives, that we would go and we would pray and we would read John 15 and we would really allow you to speak to us about how much you love us. And God, finally, I just pray that our relationships here would just be real and deep and caring of one another. Lord, help us to be the friend that you want us to be. Sometimes we want to be pursued by others and we want everybody else to do all the work and make us feel good. But Lord, we have a responsibility to initiate and to respond to one another. Let your Spirit dwell amongst us, dwell inside of us, and build those kind of deep relationships that you want, so that we can be real and honest with each other. Help us with that. In Jesus' name, amen.